Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
Hello, this is Sharon Vornholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, here today with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing. And today I want to spend just a few minutes talking about one of the things that seems to trip up investors, and that is negotiations. So we're going to talk about some steps today that you can, to have a good conversation with a seller, which is just vital when you're trying to put together a real estate deal. Now, I read a great article some time back. It was in Inc. magazine, which is one of the magazines I get, and it is was called The Art of Conversation. Now, this article was written by someone, if you watch GMA, you're going to know immediately who it was, George Stephanopoulos. There's no doubt George knows a lot about this this particular topic. But after reading the article, I started to think about just how many ways this applies to real estate investing and how much it applies to all real estate investors. So when you're having a one-to-one conversation, it really doesn't matter if you're having that conversation with a motivated seller or with someone you're trying to buy a dining room table for. A negotiation is a negotiation at the end of the day, and it all starts with a good conversation. So I'm going to take these tips, these five steps, and I'm going to apply them to how you can put these into practice in your real estate investing business. So number one is to prepare extensively. You know, there just really is no substitute for preparation. When you go on an appointment, you need to be prepared to talk to that seller, and that in itself will make you more confident. So when you go, you want to be sure your appearance is correct. You know, be sure that's correct, and then make sure that you've done your due diligence on the property. Have you looked it up on your tax assessor site? You know, have you looked up all of the different things about the property? You're going to need comps of some sort. So if you don't have access to the MLS, at least check out the recent sales in the neighborhood and things like that. Zillow and Realtor.com and those places are notoriously, they have gaps in their comps, but you need to have a general idea of whether the houses in the neighborhood are selling for $100,000 or $125,000 or $300,000. So make sure you've done your due diligence, get your comps, and you should know the taxable value of the property. Now, in many areas, you can get all this information free. However, in my area, you have to pay for that information, but it's only $30 a month for a subscription to the tax assessor site. And that will give you all kinds of information. It will give you a lot of the property information. It will give you, you know, the sale dates for the property, and it will give you the most recent assessments, sometimes back many years. So once you have all of that information, part of your preparation is to just know about the house in the neighborhood. So what I do, even all these years later, is I always arrive a little bit early and look around the neighborhood. You know, you want to compare the house you're going to be looking at to the houses in the neighborhood. Is it bigger? Is it smaller? Is it better looking? Is it worse looking? And while you're driving the neighborhood, and I usually drive a couple of blocks either direction, so all four directions, you know, so that I've got a pretty good idea of what's there. You know, I'm going to be looking for signs of neglect, for signs of, bad things like cars up on blocks, really unkempt houses, things of those sorts. But the neighborhood will directly impact what your end buyer can sell that house for. So it's important that you do this step and not skip this step. So just to recap, do your due diligence, know the comps, know the taxable assessment on the property, and scope out the neighborhood. Get there early and scope out the neighborhood and the exterior of the house. So that's number one. That's the preparation phase. The second thing, and this really should go without saying, and I think for most investors this isn't true, but you know, don't be a know-it-all. When there's probably no bigger turnoff for a seller than when you get there and you kind of, my dad would have said, you're all blown up. You know, I'm the person. I know everything about this house and you can't tell me anything. So you got to have some, got to be a little meek. Not meek isn't the right word, but you can't be that person who's just, you know, here I am and, you know, I'm the man or the woman and here are the facts. So once you've done all the necessary preparation, it's pretty common that you're going to feel like an expert on the property, and that's great. But you don't want to be intimidating to the seller, and it won't really do you any good in your negotiations. So go in, ask the seller some questions, get involved in the conversation, and like I said before, you know, start to build a rapport with the seller. You can ask them the history of the house in the neighborhood. If it's a probate, they're going to probably want to tell you about the person that passed away, and that will give you a good understanding of where the family is coming from. So let them tell you any information that, you know, is helpful or, you know, that you can use in the negotiations. And this is one time that it really pays to listen. Listen for the clues about their motivation. Listen for clues as to their attachment to the property, okay? So number three would be to ask why. You know, ask why questions. And this sometimes this takes a little finesse. It takes a while to, you know, to get them to jump into the conversation. But if you can get them to do that, it is definitely worth the trouble. Now, if the seller throws out a price, just pulls the price out of their hat, and you know that price is way out of bounds, don't be mean about it. You know, sometimes that's our inclination just to get upset. But ask them why they think the house should be priced at that amount. You know, how did you arrive at this price? Now, the next time they bring up a different objection to something you've said, instead of reacting to what they've said, ask them why they feel that way. You know, how did they come to that conclusion, whether it's over the price or whether it's over the cost of a complete kitchen renovation? Rather than just shooting them down, ask them, you know, how they came to that conclusion, you know, why they feel that way or, you know, how they came up with that information. So, and I found that sellers, if you do it in the correct way, they will almost always just own up to the fact that they know their prices are way off. You know, I even had a guy tell me one time, oh, I just pulled that figure out of my hat. You know, I told him I couldn't pay him that much for his second house. And he said, well, I just pulled that price out of my hat. So then I said, well, what are you really willing to take for the house? And that's where we started our negotiations. Now, when somebody gives you a price, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the price. That is your starting point for your negotiations. Always remember that, okay? Now, number four would be to watch for clues when you're talking to these people. Watch for facial clues, for body language clues. You can often tell how your negotiation is going before they've even said a word. You can watch their face. You know, they may back up a little bit and cross their arms, and without saying anything, you know that they're upset. So be aware of these types of things. And if they appear to get offended by something, backtrack just a little bit and ask them again about their situation, where they are at that moment. The thing that you need to remember is that while you definitely need to have the upper hand in negotiations, there's a way of doing it, and there is a way of doing it of keeping that control without offending the seller or having the whole thing blow up in your face. It's easy to get to where you want to know. It's much easier if you are able to read people. And once you get in the habit of doing that, it's really kind of an annoying habit because you'll find yourself doing it all the time. you know, you'll be dealing with a service person and you'll be able to tell that they're not just very, very happy with you. Now, number five would be to, no matter how much they're kind of running on and running on about whatever, you need to force yourself to be interested. And I tell a story a lot of times, you know, about someone that I knew, one of my early mentors that said, you know, you have to just let people talk. You have to just sit there and let them tell you their situation because it's important that they get to tell their story. Now, when you do that, in listening to all the drama about Aunt Mabel and her family and her kids, and they moved and they tore the house up and the whole giant story, they will almost always tell you every detail about the problems in their life. And most of them you'd rather not know, but in some way they have to do with selling the house. They have to do with this property. You know, they've just told you a 20-minute long story on how bad the grandkids are when that is the reason they must sell that house. So I found this to be a way in most cases to just really bond with the seller. You know, there's nothing you can do short of cutting them off anyway, but to just sit there and listen. But here's the thing. They're going to pick up on it pretty fast if you don't act interested, if you're not really showing some interest. So try to pick something out of what they're saying. You know, comment on some part of their story, some part of the conversation, and feel like you're making a connection with those people. It's all about making the connection. When all things are equal and two people are able to, two people present the same offer, the person that's been able to stand out is going to be the one that's going to get the deal. And you can often do that by being compassionate. You can do that by being a good listener. You can also do that by having a little short, interesting story about yourself. People don't always remember your name or the name of your company, but they will remember your story. So when you introduce yourself, if you're Mike and, you know, you're a second-generation real estate person and your dad was a fixer-upper person and he used to bring you along on all the jobs and that's why you love doing what you do, then you should tell them your story. And in return, you listen to their story, and that's how you build common ground. So I think this is pretty much the basis of this. So if you have any questions, if you have any tips you'd like to add to this, to the steps for putting together a good conversation, which will in turn help you with any form of negotiations, just send me an email. You can do that through the blog. And until next time, this is Sharon Vorenholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, and I'll be back soon with another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing.